Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Ron Culver back in action here on Wake Up Call. As we continue, I'm Tony D. joining you this morning is get us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Medina Sprint, the Kentucky Derby horse that failed the post-race drug test, will run in the Preakness. He will run from the number three spot 10 horse field. Bob Baffert finally admitting that, all right, there was an ointment that was applied to the horse that had the steroid, and that was that probably was the problem. You know, we talk about this all the time whenever an athlete just gets caught using steroids or has a positive test. And if I was a PR representative, I would always advise my client to just come out and say, I made a mistake. All right, I made a mistake. It's always the excuses. It's always the cover-up. It's always the you need to understand that people just don't want to wrap their arms around. You know, the guy who says, I don't know why I tested positive for steroids. I was eating pancakes yesterday, and they must have been in the pancake batter. Like, nobody buys that. Nobody finds that plausible. Don't do it. Bob Baffert was the first couple of days of this. I know he was embarrassed, and I know he's a legend in horse racing. And here comes the media, and he's been suspended, and he wants to clear his name. But some of the reasoning and some of the excuses that he was giving for this just did not make sense and just did not make him look good. From his cancel culture comments to some urinated hay that got into the horse's diet. I mean, crazy stuff. When he could have just said, look, I should know better. I've been a trainer a long time. You know what? I accept all the punishment that's coming my way. We need to do a better job, me and my staff, of what we give the horse. We did not do it in this case. My apologies to the horse owner. My apologies to Churchill Downs, to all the other competitors. I'm gladly take the punishment. I will work with all the horse racing industry, all of the governing bodies that I got to work with to go over this particular incident. And I hope it does, you know, we can move on. But I will cooperate. If you just do that, I swear people will just go, great, good for you, and let's move on and let's do it together. But he doesn't. Instead, you look foolish for a couple of days before you finally go, all right, you caught me, which we were going to do anyway.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We bring it back because Ron's back from vacation.
Yay.
So there's a lot of good to pick from. So let's get it there, going
well,
with the good of the day.
Yes, there could be a lot of good, but there's only one good that we have to highlight today. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the greatest hockey player you've never known. Scored 8 goals, Tony. In an all-star game. In Mother Russia, that's Vladimir Putin.
Of all of the last 5 days, you picked the good, a hockey game in Russia, for a guy who scored 8 goals in an all-star game.
Yeah,
you know, all-star games are usually lit up with goals.
Yeah, you know why I picked that?
Why?
Because the guy who scored 8 goals, Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin scored 8 goals?
He scored 8 goals in a totally legit all-star hockey game.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure the goalie was like, whoops, again. Oh, wow, you got me one more time with that 20-mile-an-hour slap shot. I just didn't see it coming.
I'm really shocked still to this day that he wasn't given an NHL contract.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what he got last time they had an all-star game, but I don't know if it was 8 goals.
Which is harder to do as a goalie, making a save on a legitimate NHL shot or making it look like you can't get a goal on a terrible hockey shot?
That's a good question.
Because the goalie can't just get out of the goal and let Vladimir Putin score, but he certainly can't accidentally stop it either, right? Because we'd like to hear from him again at some point in his hockey career. So he has to make it look like he's like, oh, man, I dove to the left and couldn't quite get it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but you have to make sure you don't get it.
He played for Team Legend, which, I mean, obvious, right? I mean, what other? I don't even know what the other. It doesn't even matter what the other team was called. And he scored his first goal within 30 seconds of the opening puck drop.
That's right, because nobody's going to go after him, and nobody's going to check him, and nobody's going to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just sailed down the rink.
This is like when Joseph Stalin used to give speeches, and they would clap for 4.5 hours because nobody wanted to stop. Nobody wanted to be the person that didn't clap.
Yeah,
right. It's the same thing here. It's like, shoot, Vladimir Putin's on the ice. We'll make him sure he gets everything he wants out of this game.
You think they sat back and he was like, how many goals do you think you scored? Like pre-game talk, at least 7 or 8. Hey, guys, make it 8. He said 7 or 8. We can cap it off at 8.
Anything I want. Vladimir Putin looks like a Bond villain, doesn't he?
Oh, he is a Bond villain.
Like, shouldn't he be sitting in a chair, petting a white cat? Pressing a button on electrocuting some chair.
Well, I mean, he has that palace. I think we talked about his palace one time where it was like, it's like billions, $11 billion palace somewhere in Sochi where the Olympics were held. And that whole place has gone to, you know what?
Think he has a piranha pit with a bridge that just collapses in.
With laser beams.
With laser beams. Vladimir Putin. How great is that?
Yeah. But I like this with this one writer. Ryder put down too, but has he ever shot 38 under par?
That's right.
I mean, that's Kim Jong-un.
That's right. Kim Jong-un, he's another athletic leader, right?
Putin may dominate the ice, but Kim Jong-un dominates the links.
Can you imagine walking up to the goalie? Mikhail, come here. He's got to score every time. And then like 2 days later, you're like, where's Mikhail? Who's Mikhail? We don't know who he is.
He got reassigned to Siberia team.
He got reassigned. Yeah, he's on another team out east, quote unquote. Using the air quotes.
So that's why got to highlight the good of Putin, hockey well done, legend.
Putin. Oh goodness! You know what? He did do a miracle. Remember, he brought the Winter Olympics to that summer resort area.
Yes,
in Sochi.
That's where
a place that is known for summer vacations. He brought the Winter Games there.
That's where his palace is. Remember, I think they shipped in snow.
Yeah, they did.
They brought in snow to his favorite beach resort. Be like us saying, the Winter Olympics this year, Miami.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
All right. Well, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, we're going to look at Oakland. Because the Oakland A's have been given permission by Major League Baseball.
This is amazing.
To relocate. If the city doesn't approve the new stadium deal.
This is blackmail. This has always been blackmail. Every league that has done this, and they've done it forever, this is legal blackmail. It's like racketeering, right?
Yeah. Now, granted, the Oakland Coliseum is extremely outdated.
Oh, it's a dump. It's an absolute dump.
Blow
no
it
question.
Up.
No question.
But you can't. I always have a hard time with this. You're forcing the taxpayers of that city to do something. The owner's not building this, and that's where it should come from, right?
Seriously, these guys go to city council. These leagues, and it doesn't matter. Take your pick. I don't care what it is. David Stern used to do this too. They would go to the city councils and they would go like, "Hey, man, that's a really nice NBA team you got there. It would be a shame something happened to it." Yeah. And that's what they do.
Why do you think Golden State moved?
Exactly. Like, shame something happened to it. You know,
they tried to do it on a thing like, well, we were originally a San Francisco team, so we just moved back.
No. If they had gotten the money, they would have stayed exactly where they were. But they didn't. So they moved to a place that would give them what they wanted.
Yeah.
It's the same thing here.
So now we have Oakland A's. Mm-hmm. People are already, Twitter's already going off about, hey, where do you think they should relocate to? Nashville? How about San Antonio?
I was just
going to
say, there's a particular southern city that's really good with barbecue and music that I wouldn't mind seeing getting a Major League Baseball team in downtown.
Does Nashville A's roll off the tongue?
Yeah, I know. The Nashville athlete would change that tomorrow. They would probably go to the music industry and go, give us a fun name like the Nashville Guitars or something like that.
Or Nashville
Picks.
The Nashville B-flat.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know what? It should be the Nashville A-minors.
A-minors, there you go.
There you go. Call them that.
But, I guess what? Oakland's on the clock?
I think so.
Are they not going to have any teams anymore?
The strange thing about it is, you got to go way back. I got to say early 90s. Before Tampa Bay got a team, they had that stated that Thunderdome down there, that now it's the Tropicana Field, but you remember the Giants were going to go there?
Yep.
There was a big buzz about the Giants movie because Candlestick was like, gross. And there was a buzz about them relocating to Tampa. And then they got AT&T Park, and then that's how it works.
And it's all good. Now they have the best views in all of baseball.
Even if you have zero interest, even if you have absolutely no interest of relocating your team, like you know deep down you're not relocating your team, but you won't tell anybody. You just leave it as a threat.
Yeah, and the issue that I have with this one, too, you know the A's owner, I'm not even sure who it is just wealthy beyond wealthy because not only is it because he's a billionaire because you have to be to own any professional team, but who's on their roster? They pinch so many pennies. It's amazing that they
probably have a payroll.
They probably have made enough money to build three stadiums in Oakland. And say, hey, guys, we're gonna have three game series, one in each ballpark this week.
Exactly. But you know what? It bothers me so much. And you know what? I've let the NFL off the hook, and I shouldn't let the NFL off the hook. They were one of the biggest perpetrators of this when they left Los Angeles open for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? Almost 30 years. When they just were like, oh, there's a city in LA that doesn't have, there's a city that doesn't have an NFL team. Maybe we should go there if you can't get this done for us. They did that to every city in America, practically, that was looking to be, look at all the new stadiums in the NFL that were built on taxpayer dimes.
Yep.
Now, some of it wasn't. Jerry Jones built his own stadium, but Jerry Jones could see a larger picture, I think. I think Jerry Jones could see, look, we should own it. We should own the best thing. And I don't need to explain myself. Remember, because it was the first $1 billion-plus stadium at the time? And he was like, I don't have to explain myself to the taxpayers. I'm building what I want to build. I'm building a Taj Mahal to my Taj Mahal team, and I don't need to answer to anybody for this. But teams that do it on the public dime are still building massive cribs.
Yeah, and then then what boggles my mind is something like the Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcons have had two brand-new stadiums in what feels like 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. They just got into a new stadium.
Braves, like, the same thing. Braves.
Yes.
We drove down to Florida 2 weeks ago. We passed the old Turner Stadium. It's just sitting there.
It's just...
I went to the last game at Fulton County Stadium, the 96 World Series. That's not that long ago.
No, it's not.
The Braves have had three stadiums since 96, if you want to count Fulton County as their last. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I agree. We all agree Oakland needs a new stadium.
Right, no question.
But, I mean, come on, owner, step up.
Step up. Most stay in Oakland, do it there.
Yeah, you shouldn't put it on the tax. Your plan is to never sell this team, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones said, hey, I'm going to own this team forever. And then when I don't, I'm passing it on to my kids. They will own it forever. Yeah. We're not selling this.
Yep, without question.
So build a stadium.
All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
Well, I feel it's our duty to our listeners to keep them in the now.
All right.
And I learned something just yesterday. I learned a new word.
Which is?
Chuggy.
Chuggy?
Chuggy.
Which is?
It's spelled C-H-E-U-G-Y. And it's pretty much a phrase that Gen Z will use for people like us who are out of trends.
Out of trends. Okay. So we call it a chuggy?
Chuggy.
I don't think that'll stick.
You know what? It's been around for a lot longer than you and I thought.
Well, because I haven't heard it, it's not apparently sticking.
But I'm just letting you know, I think we're going to start hearing this word more and more because I think Chuggy has finally hit mainstream. And I'm not saying it's going to end up in the Webster's Dictionary, but it was a phrase created by, she's now 23, but she started it when she was in high school.
Oh, forget it. This is nonsense. This is nonsense. Nonsense. I don't want to hear about a high school kid creating a word that's now
She
famous.
Was 13 and she created it, and it's kind of... Grab some legs.
I've never heard it.
Well, I bet you now. Ask your daughter. See if she knows Chuggy.
All right, maybe I will.
See if she knows. Or your son, Chuggy. Because I'm struggling to figure out what it is, and I'm just wanting to keep our listeners in the know that, you know, if you hear Chuggy, you heard it here first.
All right. Well, that was. I think that is one of the dumbs.
That's all right. Very dumb.
Coming up, not only dumb, but should drive everyone to anger next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver
Here's Tony D.
Keeping your car clean is simple and expensive maintenance. It'll help keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior car care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaners. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will help make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so this video that's been flying around about these two youth football players, what appears to be the Tennessee Titans practice field, because the Titans logo is prominently displayed in this video, of two very small children doing a tackling, like a drill, basically a tackling drill, where a player has a ball on the right side, another player is on the left side, and then they come together in a semicircle, and then they collide, and boom. The kids apparently, I mean, just by the look, without knowing the ages or any of the details of the video, they look very little.
They got to be like
7 years,
seven years old.
Exactly. And the kid who has the football is a little bigger than the kid he hits on the defensive side. And with two powerful steps and his head down, plows into the defender and knocks him to the ground. These are little children. I mean, little children. They're not teenagers. They're not small high school kids.
Nope.
They are little children. And one of them hit the other kid in the helmet with his helmet.
Yep.
So my first reaction to this video was, why are they doing these drills in the first place? Why are they doing this? I mean, if we're going to continue to have kids grow in the sport of football, this is the video you do not want to get out. Because the big driver of who plays football at a young age are moms. And the more you show videos of this, of a 6-7-year-old kid getting his brain walloped into soup, the less that mother is going to be inclined to let her kid do this, no matter how much they beg. And they will find other activities for their sons to do. If you want to increase the participation of youth in football, you can't do any of this. And here's what I did like about this video being online. The amount of NFL players and former players saying, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And that's what I really liked. Seeing more and more of these guys who played in the league, who know the violence of this league, saying everybody should be fired. Everybody should be fired.
Everyone should be banned.
Right? No longer coaching, no longer being involved in youth sports. It's an unreal piece of video. I mean,
it really is.
It's unbelievable.
The hardest thing to watch is the kid who gets hit. I mean, he doesn't pop up.
He doesn't pop up, and he gets up, and he's like, oh.
You know that, I mean, the video cut out. I'm just curious, I mean, if he fell back down, you know, how woozy was he? Were his eyes rolling back in his head? Because he got hit.
Just clobbered.
And then, you know, there's like, you know, kind of, I guess there's laughter in the background.
Yeah.
And I just, mean, it's just not a good look. You're absolutely right. It's not a good look at all.
Look, go back to the NFL. And I know I've said this a number of times, right? The NFL had a concussion problem for a long time, right? For a very long time. And what they did was they said, okay, look, we're going to try to make the game safer with research and technology. We're going to make helmets better. We're going to make the practice of the game better. We're going to make the rules a little bit more in line with trying to avoid concussions. We're never going to eliminate it, but if we can minimize it, let's cut down on the hard hit videos. Let's not promote that as much. It was a big PR strategic move by the league to sort of say, we are losing a generation to moms who don't want their kids playing football, right? And how we're going to do it is we're going to convince them that the game is safer, that it's going to trickle down to their kids by the time the kids are ready to play. We'll use steps. You know, we'll say, look, kids should be playing in this, and tackle football should be here, and flag football very early, and introduce this kind of drill here and this kind of drill there. And then hopefully it'll trickle down. They also did advertising, right? It was no coincidence that Tom Brady was in an ad talking about the safety of the sport 10, 12 years ago, right? Talking to Ray Lewis's mother. Do you remember that when he was talking to this woman and the woman turned out to be Ray Lewis's mom? That was not just funny. That was him talking to a specific audience of people who were instrumental in the growth of the game from a youth on the way up. That's what that was there for. You take a video like this, as viral as this is going to get, you've set that back 15 years, right? Participation in tackle football in the country is declining, and it's declining because of concerns about concussion. It went on in my house when my son wanted to play, and I told my wife, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. He'll be fine. He got a concussion. It was horrific. It was really horrific. Hospital, pain in his ear. My wife had to drive to another state. We were living in New Jersey. She had to go to Pennsylvania because it was the only pharmacy that was open in the middle of the night for his ringing ears, his pain, his headache. It was awful. You put a video out like this, your mother's going, my son will never see a football field. I'll find something else. He'll play baseball. He'll play basketball. He'll play soccer. I don't care what he does, but he ain't doing this. No matter how much he begs, he is not doing this. And that's why these coaches should be fired. It's for the safety of the kids, obviously, the first reason, putting these kids in danger. Second reason is they're destroying the image of the game. It's an atrocious video. It's an absolutely atrocious video. Again, and it's not even the kid that gets hit. Whoever taught the kid who had the football that's how you do it, you hold off a defender by ramming your head into his helmet. Unbelievable. And I was very, very impressed with how many people stepped up and said, former players said, not one guy, at least I didn't see it. Maybe they're out there. I didn't see one former player say, oh man, this is how I grew up.
No, I haven't seen it at all.
They're better off for it.
The closest I saw was Mike Golic. I mean, he didn't say this is it. He was like, you know, you need to. Proper technique. He's like too young. He's not saying that, you know, playing football at this age shouldn't be allowed, but it needs to be monitored much better.
Yeah. Why are we doing tackle football for 6 and 7 year olds anyway?
I don't know.
I don't understand. There's plenty of time in the development of a kid to learn to tackle.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to get into the violence of the game later on, when they can handle it and they can properly evaluate it and they properly know what they're up against and how they're, you know, and how that is, how they'll respond to it. How, you know, because if you get a kid who's in high school, maybe not high school per se, because that might be too late, but maybe 6th or 7th grade, where they can really mentally process, what am I doing? What am I doing to my body in these situations and how can I be safer?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I had a former NFL quarterback. He told me, every kid should be playing flag football in the junior high.
I agree.
You know, learn the basics of the game. Learn the skills of the game, the skill set of the game. You know, learn how to catch, learn how to throw, learn how to run, learn how, you know, to move your body around. He said he didn't start playing tackle football until he was in high school. And he made it to the NFL.
Let the physicality come later, right? Because, again, what are we doing this for? Like, in the end, what is the point of that? Like, what was the point of that drill? It's not to train former NFL players.
No.
Like, this, we don't live in a communist system like back in the day in the 80s where you would take kids and you're like, we're taking you from your family, young gymnast, so you can win gold medals for the mother country. We're not doing that here. These kids are just playing football. So what difference does it make whether they play tackle or flag at 6 or 7 years old? Like, you again, and you're 100% right. The kids who are playing flag football at 6 and 7, when you take the physicality out of it, you're teaching them what makes the game what the game is, right? The strategic element of the game, breaking off in passing routes and running the ball, and how do we convert a third down on short or a third down and long, and how do we cover, and all of the elements of the game that make it, you know, make it interesting, the strategic side of it. Bring the physicality to it later. Right? It's just much later. Yeah.
And we're not saying you're not going to get hurt playing flag football. It can happen.
Of course not.
But this video, this kid's hurt.
This kid's really hurt, yeah.
This kid, I mean, if I'm his parent, that's it. He's done.
Yep. Yeah,
he's
no doubt.
You're not putting on a helmet ever again.
My son never played football again. He got one concussion. The doctor told him. He said, you want to go to college and be a doctor? He said, never play football again. My son never saw the field again. Never.
It's disgraceful.
It is. Absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. All right, coming up, we'll continue our look at the NFL schedule as some of the leaks are coming out. We'll give you some of the week one matchups that are a little enticing. Yeah, it's a little appetizer for tonight's schedule breakdown as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Sports Map Radio. Hey, you got a tough cleaning job? Tub of Towels can take care of it, breaking the bond that holds dirt and grease to the surface to clean just about anything. I used it on my grill just the other day. Outdoor furniture, grills, appliances, countertops, paint rollers, fabric and carpet, you name it, Tub of Towels can handle it. Adhesive, decals, chalk, silicones, paint stains, grease, oil, tar, ink, glue, wax, food, drink stains. The list is incredible. Use Tub of Towels on anything to get that stuff cleaned up. Tub of Towels proudly made in the USA, and it contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. Those are good for the hands. So tough on messes, good on the old palms. Vapor lock lids snap shut, keeping the cleaning wipes moist so that you can use all of the ones that are in the container. They get over 30,000 five-star reviews for a reason. Tub of Towels, use it. I use it on the car all the time. Like when the car, like I had spilled some stuff, swept it right up. I had bird mess on the car. Took care of it right away. Tub of Towels. Again, you can find them at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, and Pep Boys. Again, Tub of Towels. All right, continuing along. So there's a little bit of a tease. They kind of released a little appetizer of the week one games. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be opening up the season against the Dallas Cowboys. Not a bad way to start the season, I guess.
Yep.
We'll see how Dallas looks with Dak Prescott healthy again. But you know what? Take America's team to Tampa Bay. Have them open up the season. I think it's a home run for the league. Good job, NFL. The rest of the other week one games that are coming up, you got Jacksonville visiting Houston right off the bat. Right? Pittsburgh and Buffalo. Not a good way to start the season for the Steelers. But
no.
If they can beat Buffalo, hey, that's off to a nice start.
Hey, you know, maybe it is. Maybe Buffalo hasn't hit full stride yet.
Yeah, maybe so.
Steelers can catch lightning in a bottle.
You got the Jets visiting Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
Philadelphia taking on Atlanta, Minnesota and Cincinnati, San Francisco, Detroit, Denver going to New York to face the Giants, Green Bay at New Orleans. That's a good little matchup now that Drew Brees is gone. Cleveland against Kansas City. That's another fun one. That was a good playoff game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was pretty decent playoff game. Miami against New England. And then you got Sunday Night Football, the Bears and the Rams. And then Monday Night Football, the first one out of the gate, Vegas and Baltimore. You think it's because Vegas couldn't have their big, huge explosion last year to open up the season?
I feel like...
Is that why they got Monday Night?
I feel like the Raiders are always on opening Monday Night.
Well, they are, because they do that doubleheader.
Yeah.
But,
so...
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one this year, though, huh?
Yeah, there seems to be only one.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, will there be two? Maybe they throw another one in there? I don't know. It kind of bums me. You're right. I never thought I'd say that. We used to get two Monday night games. Why aren't we getting two Monday night games now? But remember, did Vegas open up Monday Night Football last year, or was it Sunday night? It was on the schedule because it was supposed to be, you know, the big Vegas open show party thing. And then COVID kind of shut that down. And now, you know, we'll probably get fuller stadiums. So maybe that's what they were doing. You know? Yeah, you kind of want to open up on a bang. Anyway, but there you go. There's your week one. Good little appetizer for what is up tonight. Although, I don't know, man. We talked about it as being a little appetizer. But that who Tampa Bay was going to play in week one to open up the season, that was something that you'd want in the television broadcast, wouldn't you?
I would have thought.
Before you released
out the week one. I guess maybe not. Maybe there's bigger games to come, Tony.
Maybe they're just like, you think that's good. You wait and see.
I mean, I know you know who's playing, but you don't know when.
Again, isn't this the most crazy thing we have in sports? It's like, you know the teams, you know the locations, but you don't know when. Tune in, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. We'll give you dates and times of those NFL matchups you are craving for.
I mean, just doing a quick search, because I was trying to see if there is Monday night. every sports site has the NFL schedule release, like release leaks tracker.
Ready to go. Just, I mean, in case you don't want to stay
just
up.
You know what? Just stay on this website all day long. It's going to be updated periodically with all the, you know, all the grit that you want. Pretty soon we're going to find out. We'll find out who Detroit plays.
We are getting a confirmation that the Atlanta Falcons will play their interdivision game against Carolina in Week 13. Is that what it's doing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's only one Monday Night Football game.
If you're Roger Goodell, just sit back and enjoy this. Just sit back and just enjoy. Just sit back. And, look, I own the whole day.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing. That's what it is.
See, LeBron James coming back. Who cares?
John Breach with CBS Sports, right? This sums it up. For the first time ever, the NFL let the networks leak their Week 1 games.
They're owning the day. Seriously. San Diego Padres riddled with COVID. Who cares?
Who cares?
LeBron James will be coming back soon. Big deal. The NHL is going to start the postseason this weekend. Who cares? We are releasing dates and times for our games in the NFL, and you can't get enough of it, American
public.
All day
long.
I
would not be surprised that if, like, around noon, someone in the NFL goes, "Hey, guys, it's lunchtime. Watch this.
The first London game will be Jacksonville versus...
London, no! What's going on?
I mean, it's going to freak everybody out. It's going to be fantastic.
It's anarchy!
Seriously, if you're... like, do you think Adam Silver and Rob Manfred and Gary Bettman are just envious?
They're on a conference call right now. How do we get this?
Adam Silver's like, I can't get anyone interested in Christmas games. And NFL is having a day-long party releasing its date and times for their schedule.
Roger Goodell just sitting back in that leather chair.
Just relaxing, counting the money.
Just with his finger on the button, go, yes, go ahead and release Week 2 now. Thank you. And just sit back and watch Twitter melt down over everything. That's amazing. I mean, just that line alone, for the first time ever, the NFL let the networks leak their Week 1 games.
I would love it if all four commissioners in sports all got together like to plan out their year. And Gary Bettman was like, and here in the NHL, we are anticipating launching our postseason on May 17th. And the NFL goes, yeah, I can't. The Bengals are releasing new uniforms on that date. You might want to rethink that. Like, really? How about the 21st? The Steelers have got this thing that they're going to do. We anticipate some signing of some offensive tackle that day, so you might want to change that too. It must drive the leagues crazy. They can't schedule anything. They can't do a thing. The NFL owns the NFL doesn't matter what they do.
No, that's what I said.
It does not matter.
The closest that the NBA has, and they're the only franchise. By the way, I mean, we don't care about the NHL schedule. We seriously don't care about MLB releasing games. The only thing the NBA has that's close to this is letting us know who's playing Christmas Day.
No, you know what?
That's it.
I will say, I think their lottery is pretty cool. Like when
I'm just talking schedules.
Oh, no, when it comes to schedules? I'm talking about anything.
I'm talking
about the NFL. I'm talking combine, draft, off-season works, training camp opening up. I don't care what it is at the NFL. Any time in the calendar the NFL has a big thing, it's bigger than anything else the other sports have.
Yeah. And they're good. That's what I'm saying. What's next? They're sitting there like they got a creative team, a think tank team just sitting there saying, okay, how do we make OTAs bigger?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
How do we make them more? How do we make them more palatable to the NFL viewing audience on television? How do we make it interesting? How do we add a spice or two to make people want to? I mean,
because the NFL's not going to stop. They're not satisfied.
If you had told me as a kid that people would be watching guys running 100-yard dashes on TV in underwear, and that would be must-see television, I would have said no. Right? But it is that bench pressing, the box jumps, the throwing, the passing cone drills, all of that combine stuff, People watch it. By the
Tony, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Numbers for a sports broadcast.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The draft for us was almost like an afterthought.
Yeah, it was like a Saturday thing that we kind of were like, eh.
Yeah, sometimes you watch it. You know, I would turn it on and just wait for my team to show up and say, okay, we did that. All right, okay. Yeah. I don't really know any of them, but they sound good.
And the NFL took the draft, and it was a perfect marriage, because what was happening in the public was there was more and more and more exposure to college football, right? So now you have a fan base that – I used to talk about this with recruiting, right? Back in the day, Bear Bryant would get his recruits, right? And then the press in Alabama would all gather, and then Bear Bryant would say, hey, here's all the guys we got. They're awesome. They're great. They're all five-star recruits, blah. And then the press would go, that's Bear. Bear's got a team. He loves his team. That's great. But now there's all these recruiting sites and videos and play. Fans can, they know about these kids, and now they're demanding accountability to the coaches as to, why didn't you get this kid? We know he came on a visit. He's always wanted to play there. Why did you lose him to Tennessee or Florida or Texas or Michigan? Why did that happen? It's the same thing that happened in the draft. The more exposure the American public got to larger and larger and larger amounts of college football, rather than whatever ABC was giving them or some local team that they would watch on a weekly basis, the more conferences you could see, the more games you could see, the more interested, and the more you kind of knew all of these players. It was a larger group of players to really get to know, so it made the draft more interesting, right? Rather than, if I only know a couple of teams in the Big Ten, and I never see anybody else play, back in the 80s, I never saw anybody else play, then I might go, well, I'll just take my team's word for it, that these guys are good. But that's not the case anymore. And the NFL went, yeah, that makes great television, right? The booing, the booing of the picks, the oohs and ahs, the gasps, the reaches, the analysis. It's how Mel Kiper became a star, right? Because the more and more people were knowledgeable about who was drafting especially in the first round, right? More or less the first round, the more the public was knowledgeable about what those guys can do, and the more they went, I don't think that guy can play for us. Then it became theater. And because it became theater, it becomes interesting. This isn't really theater, but what it does is, here's the thing. How many of you tonight are going to watch this? Watch this, grab your schedule, look it up on and start going, win, loss, loss, win, win. Might be a win there.
Of course.
We're all going to do it. We're all going to do it as soon as it comes out. Now, it doesn't feel it feels weird when you're doing it when they list, here's all the home games, here's all the away games, right? But when it's laid out and it's organized, here's the weeks, here's your bye week, here's when you play Monday Night Football, here's when you play Sunday Night Football, you start seeing start seeing an order, you start pegging. All right, now we're going to be 2-0, 3-0. Hey, we might be 5-0 before we play that big game against whoever. It's great. It's fantastic. And the numbers, I bet, tonight will be great, because people love this stuff. All right, we'll hit some tweets when we come back. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. And again, Jake Asman's show is coming up next. You don't want to miss that. We'll get to Twitter in just a second. This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life, Rocket can. Have the NFL created a Big Brother program right after college football season ends? Take the top 20 prospects and put them together in a mansion and have the public vote out player by player. The last one left is number one pick of the draft. If they did that, that would get monster ratings too.
No, of course it would.
Whatever they touch.
Anything they do.
Everything they do.
It's amazing. I mean, listen, I mean, growing up, the Major League Baseball was, was our grandfather's pastime. It's been traditionally said over and over again. The NFL took the reins and just has dominated, and it's one of these situations now. It's like, I don't see them ever losing. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because normally you can't keep feeding in the field. Like, eventually you know the drought comes.
Eventually you're going to get toppled.
Eventually it always happens, right? Like, again, this is, you've probably heard this many times, but it wasn't that long ago, within the context of human history, 100 years ago, when horse racing, baseball, and boxing were the kings of the country, when they were the top three, right? That's not that far back when you think about how long humans have been around.
No.
You feel like it never ends, but it does. Eventually, it does topple. But the problem is, people have been coming at this sport with arrows for a long time. We just got done talking about the concussion problem. People are like, this is it. This is the death of the NFL. And I'm like, nope, this is just a blip. This is a blip. Once they figure it out, once they try to solve it, or once the public is not interested in this topic anymore, and that's a big deal, they'll move on. The kneeling of Kaepernick and the alienation of a certain percentage of your political
people. And listen, that reared its ugly head just this week.
Sure it did.
With Tebow getting a shot and Kaepernick still on the sidelines.
Right. Sure it did. But again, you may see ratings tick up and down, but as far as the death of the sport, as far as like when nobody's going to games and there's no interest in it anymore and everybody's wondering what happened, we haven't reached that point yet. I'm not saying it won't come 20, 30 years from now. I don't know what could hit the sport to make it happen. But right now, the gravy train is pouring. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's really rolling along.
That's where it's hard to see. I mean, I like our grandfather, our great-grandparents would never imagine boxing to be, hey, a highlight boxing match is going to be a retired boxer versus an actor.
Yep. A heavyweight champion of the world back 75 years ago was the most important status you could have in sports. And now most people can't even name who that is.
No.
Right?
And like I said, the big boxing match coming up, Mayweather-Paul, come on.
Right, come on. Right, exactly. Jake Eisman Show coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow for a Throwback Thursday as we continue along. It's Sports Map Radio. Thank you for being with us on Wake Up Call.